So taking a deep breath in, deeply to your body, and feel the connection between the top of your head and the soles of your feet. That place that is outside, universally outside of us. And then that place that is so deeply us, our body. And then another breath, and feel the connection to Gaia, that beautiful space and place beneath our feet, our mother, this planet that has supported us for our entire lives, many lives. And we give thanks for being the conduit between heaven and earth in this human form. And as you breathe into your gratitude, allow that to fill you up, just saying thank you inside. Thank you for the all that is that unites us as a beautiful family. Thank you for the love that we share today. Thank you for the wisdom of Kryon and the entourage that brings us together here. Thank you for connecting the hearts of each and every one of us so that together we breathe and feel as one coherent family of light as we welcome the honoring and the message of love and wisdom from Kryon.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. Here is a channel that my partner didn't expect. You may see a similarity to this channel in what some have called a science channel, but it isn't. Or a futurist channel. Not really. It's going to have information that many will listen to carefully. And then in the future, there will be validation. I'm going to call this particular channel Too Smart to Look. Dear ones, you represent a metaphysical core belief, not a system or a doctrine with rules, but perceptions of God that are greater than any doctrine. And all of you have a slightly different idea, because all of you are individual, and that God inside will react, that soul that you have will be slightly different in your perception, in your intuition, but all of you will know something at the core. And that is this, that the love and the compassion of the creative source is in you. And in this time, it's going to start coming out in certain ways, individually, society, cultures, civilization. And the result is going to be a higher consciousness. But if you started to say those words to those on the street today, they would look at you, especially the smart ones. And you could tell by what they're thinking or what their eyes are telling and the smile that they have, and they won't say it, but it's almost like they want to pat you on the head and say, you'll be okay. And at the same time, they're envisioning perhaps you wearing a tinfoil hat with an antenna and walking around and receiving messages from beyond. And they're too smart to look. You see, they know better. They know better. They work in a linearity that works for them. And everything beyond that, that sounds so odd and so strange. And what you're saying, things are going to change. We're going to have inventions. Things are going to move so quickly, you won't imagine it. There's going to be wild cards. And sure, there are. And they'll walk away. And the whole essence of that conversation is they're a little condescending, a little too smart to look. So let's talk about too smart to look. I want to present something to you, and it's about timing. 230 years ago. And I want to present to you 230 years in the future. And I want you to stay with me. 230 years, cry, that is a long time. A very long time. And I'm going to say, really? Okay, let's look at how long it is. Today, a human being easily, on an average, will reach the age of 77. That's common. Now, I want you to take three of those lifetimes and lay them back to back. Just three people. 230 years. Only three. So let us say that you're that age right now, or perhaps a little more. I want you to look at how long you've lived. Now, two other people in front of you go back with their life. You get 230 years. You see, it's not that long ago. Not really. Three average lifetimes of a human being, 230 years. That's going to put you at 1789. So let's talk about 1789 for a minute. And let's take you back to someone who's a little too smart to look. Let's say you're going to go back there and tell them about today. What did you have in 1789, just three lifetimes ago, of a 77-year-old? What did you have? And the answer is almost nothing. If you put yourself in that civilization right now, do you realize what you didn't have? What you didn't even conceive of? Do you realize you'd never seen light without fire? You didn't have electricity. The idea that you could light a city without whale oil was fantasy. You could have light without fire? That's crazy stuff. No electricity? There were cities that you knew about in the United States which were deemed unlivable because they got too hot. You didn't even have refrigeration. You realize you didn't have flight. No one had ever flown yet. What would they think about a jumbo jet? What if you told them hundreds of people will get in aircraft in spaceports that just have airplanes and fly around, and they're going to look at you and they'll say, have a nice little day. I'm too smart to look. Come on, don't bother me with these things. And what you're giving them is reality. Reality, absolute reality. Young person, I want you to think about this. They had no way of recording sound. Can you imagine that? If you wanted to go see a band at the time, you better listen clearly because you'll never hear them again because there's no way to record them. None. No recordings. No moving pictures. No electricity. And then if you mention to that person who was too smart to look, I say, look, if you really want to know something that's very, very special, there's these little tiny microbial creatures that crawl around, but you can't see them. You see, they're invisible. And they create disease. You better boil your water. You better wash your hands because you're going to get disease. And they'll look at you and they'll say, that's enough. Leave me alone. And those are called germs today. Too smart to look. And that will be that same person, perhaps, that today is too smart to look. Can you imagine a society, 1789, where they had absolutely nothing of what you have today? You would not recognize it. Your day-to-day life would not even be recognizable. They wouldn't be able to manufacture the clothes you wear today. Their lifestyle, completely and totally different. They didn't have communication. They didn't have the telephone. They sent letters. Barely had rail. 230 years ago, that was yesterday, dear ones. That's the beginning of your country. Things like this are happening quickly. Let me bring you back to today. If in 1990 you went to a photographer's convention, you would have seen the filmmakers laying out their best emulsions. Agfa and Kodak and all of them, booth after booth, so proud. And if you'd walk up to one of them and said, "Excuse me, I know something is going to happen. You see, I'm from the future. I'm from 2019. I know what's going to happen." Film will be gone. And they would say, "Excuse me, what's going to replace it, Sonny?" You wouldn't be able to tell them, would you? Well, ones and zeros on a little plate. And they would say, "Okay, have a nice little day. Put on your little tinfoil cap." And they're a little too smart to look at what actually happened. Do you realize that film almost went away by 2012? If you would say, "Well, in 1990, you've got a thriving film industry, Hollywood," and you would say to the cinematographer, "Did you know that in the future you'll have a camera with no moving parts and no film?" "Oh, there is one moving part. It's called the lens. It moves back and forth." And they'd say, "You're crazy. That simply doesn't hold any water. That's not even very futuristic. No film? That's not going to happen." Well, it did. And by the way, it took a whole chemistry industry with it. Not just the filmmakers, but the ones who had the developing chemistry and all the labs and all of those kiosks around that would develop your prints and all. It's all gone. That's since 1990, 2012. Here you are in 2019. That's fast. What if you told that person that's too smart to look, there's going to be an evolution in consciousness, and they'll say, "What does that mean?" And you will say, "There's going to be a revolution and a revelation in the energy of consciousness. We're going to be able to start doing things by thinking about them." Now you've gone too far. It's coming. I'm going to take you 230 years in the future. I do not tell fortunes, dear ones, but I can tell you these things are going to happen because they're already in progress. And if you were to tell somebody right now what I'm going to tell you, they're not going to believe it. Let me give you an example. 230 years ago, if you went back there and the whole object of you going is to grab somebody and explain a Wi-Fi. What is Wi-Fi? Well, Wi-Fi is one of those interim inventions that is based around principles that you didn't have yet. Not just electricity, but computing. And through the air transmission of radio or television, none of it was there. So now you're going to explain Wi-Fi, which is the connection of an internet. What is an internet? How are you going to explain that? Well, you say, "Well, it's connected to the computer." What's a computer? How do you explain that? You see, there's some inventions that have to happen because of the perceptions of the inventions you don't understand yet. So I'm going to give you one or two. 230 years is not very far. That's three lifetimes of a 77-year-old. Just three. And you're there. So where do we start? I'll give you three. I'll try to make these fun. Not technical. Not really. But fun. And the reason for this, the whole reason, is to put in perspective too smart to look. Imagine 230 years from now, you take a look at what's going on the planet in your country, and you're seeing something strange, very strange. There's a lot of ships traveling up and down the coast of your country, both sides, east and west, and they go back and forth and back and forth. And you stop and you ask somebody, what are all those ships doing out there? What are they shipping? There's no ports there. I don't see any. They're not going anywhere. They're just going back and forth and back and forth. And the person will look at you like you came from another planet. And she says, those are salters. Don't you know what those are? Those are salters. And you'll say, well, what is a salter? And they say, well, okay, I'll assume you just fell off the turnip truck. They're out there putting salt in the ocean. And you look at them and go, why would anyone put salt in salt water? And they would say, well, it's too complicated to explain to you. Have a nice day. Do any of you have any idea what they're doing and why they're doing it? I'll tell you. I could just leave it there. But I want to tell you, I have told you something is coming, and it's not going to take 230 years. But the environmental responsibility may. You're going to have, listen to this, real-time pass-through water desalinization without using heat. Real-time pass-through water desalinization without heat. It goes in salty and it comes out fresh by the tens of thousands of gallons a day. Unit after unit after unit filling up all of your lakes, giving all the cities fresh water, irrigation all the way up and down your coasts, and transmitted, shipped to the inland cities. Now right there, you're going to say, all of that is unbelievable. Real-time desalinization, it goes in salty, comes out fresh, without holding tanks, without heat, because of an invention that's coming. And then you're going to ship it to the other cities? That's not going to work. Well, you see, it is. Let me give you another secret. You have got a big infrastructure of pipes that ship oil, and there won't be any need for oil. So all those pipes are water pipes. They're already in place. All you do is use them to ship all of that fresh water to every single city. How do you like it so far? Okay, what is the byproduct? Salt, tons of it. And then you realize you're changing the salinity of the seawater that depends upon a very focused balance for life. And so the biologists will get involved and say, you've got to replace the salt in this fraction, right here, right there, because that's where you've taken it out, and studies will show that you've got to do it in this way and that way. And so there are the ships called salters. And they'll go back and forth, and they'll replenish the salt. They'll come to port, yeah, but not to the ship anything. They're just going to come get more salt, and then they'll deliver it. Now that's a paradigm you can't even consider today. Then what if I told you, I'm going to go further. What if I told you that those ships use a special fuel that you won't believe? And the fuel is called salt water. Can you imagine all of the ships? And salt water, probably the most reasonable thing you can think of to power a ship in the water that's salty. They won't need oil, dear ones. They're not going to have diesel fuel. There's not going to be any of those things. And there's not going to be any footprint that's going to affect the planet. Because everything they have that they create that says the engine's going to work on salt water is going to put right back into the ocean just like they took it. And that's going to be for shipping in general, not just the salters. Watch for it. Can you imagine engines powered by salt water? It's coming. That's number one. Let me give you number two. I'll make this fun. In 230 years, you're excited about this new museum. And the new museum, big letters, and you're going to take your kids. Kids, we've got something for you to see. New museum, it's called the Battery Museum. And you're going to go there, and you're going to see something so antique and special called a double A and a triple A and a C and a D. You'll even have batteries that cars used. Those electric cars, all those huge batteries. And you're gonna laugh and laugh, and you're going to say, look, this is what we used to have in the olden days. Because batteries are gone. No batteries. You see, you don't need them anymore. I'll tell you why. We've told you what's coming. It's already on the drawing boards. It's here. Electricity production, big and small, even minuscule, even micro, that creates electricity through the push and pull of magnets forever. And it just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. Doesn't it make sense that you'd have some kind of configuration using magnetics, which doesn't get old? Thousands of years, it's still magnetic, and it's still pushing and pulling an apparatus that goes around and around, and that will then create whatever you want that goes around and around. But mainly for you, electricity. Imagine this for a moment. Produced in a micro fashion, an engine that creates electricity. It's not even as big as your fingernail. And that's in every single device you have that you carry around. So that means it's always charging. Do you understand? You don't have anything to plug in anymore. This extends to larger electric power for your homes, which will then be specific to a neighborhood if you live in apartments or your house in the garage. No more grid. There is no reason for a grid when you can make your electricity with absolutely no product that's going to be created that you have to dump. A box that sits there and simply creates electricity 24/7, 24/7. The only thing you might have to replace, perhaps, is a bearing every 10 years. Imagine appliances without cords. Making their own electricity. What you call phones, which won't be. Devices that you carry in your pocket, still to then for music and whatever other entertainment that you won't even know about by then. Connections to the planet, all self-powered. They don't need batteries. Now, here's where it gets good, because for those of you who are technical listening to this, you'll say, wait a minute. They're making electricity. Yeah, but there's got to be something in between the electricity maker and the circuitry. That used to be a battery which you could charge, but something else. You're right. That's an interim invention that's coming. And I'll just give you a hint. It's going to be called the cap. And there's a man named Faraday who will be very proud of it. It's the way of storage and release and variable electricity without a battery. It's coming. It's already here. How many of you are aware that when you take the batteries out of a device and then put them back in, the device somehow kept its charge? Did you ever think about that? Somehow it remembered everything, even though the batteries were missing. That's a hint. This is where it's going. So what if you tell somebody today that that's coming? And they'll listen to you. And they'll say, well, I don't think so. We'll always have batteries. We'll always have this and that, because the old paradigm is the old paradigm. And they don't want to think past anything. They don't want to think past any reality that they cannot conceive of. And they are proud of being linear. And they are so proud of the way things work today with the physics of today. And they will pat you on the head and say, you know, have a good life. A little too smart to look. The third one is the hardest for you to believe, and with that I'll close. It's not that technical, dear ones. It just isn't. If you go to the atom and what you know about the atom, what do you find? And the answer is polarity, positive and negative. Everything is polarized. And when you talk to the chemists, everything is polarized. You take a look at the way the human bodies work and the chemistry and muscles and all of that. And it's all about positive and negative. If you talk to a physicist and you say, tell me about the four laws of physics that you claim right now that are working, they will say, well, here they are. And each one of them has two sides, a strong and a weak force, positive and negative. Interesting, isn't it? All the way up to the laws, you've got two elements, just two, positive and negative. Everything is polarized. That's what finally is going to give you that electricity, dear ones. By the way, that's also what's going to desalinate your water. But now the big one. Do you understand and realize what happens when you have something I would call mass? Whether it's the mass of an object or the mass of a planet or the mass of an asteroid, in physics, the mass is computed. And the next thing that is computed is the gravity that it will then produce. Did it ever occur to you that gravity is only one polarity? If you could reverse that polarity by designing certain things within the mass, you'd have the minus side. And that, dear one, will repel gravity. It's not anti-gravity. It's not anti-anything. It's the natural counterpoint that physics understands, even within the laws of physics. Did it ever occur to you that gravity was a little one-sided? It's only one thing. It pulls. It never pushes. How would you like to make a push? And that's coming. What if I told you that that particular attribute was even known by Tesla? But he couldn't make it work because the computers were not that fine. Things kept flying off the bench. He was so frustrated because he saw it. He saw it. You're not going to need rockets and propellants and fuel. All you have to do is have variable mass. And if you follow this and if you are a fan of UFOs, I will tell you that this explains how they move. Because they have variable mass controls. All they do is push and pull against mass, your planet. When you have that, dear ones, can you see how that might change a lot? And in 230 years, if you could go there right now, you would be in a jungle of technology you would not understand. You would be frightened by what isn't there. And you'd ask where all the wires went, where all the pipes are, and you'd be lost. But the big one is consciousness. Because for those things to happen, dear ones, there's got to be peace on earth. They're not going to happen without peace on earth. Because almost every single one of those inventions can be weaponized. Are you with me? And before you're ever going to get them, there must be consensus on this planet that you don't kill another human. Not in mass, not one society from another, not a civilization. And I'm here to tell you that that is the potential. Too smart to look when you tell others that's going to happen. A world without war, no, impossible. A world that has these kinds of things, that's going to allow us to have water and food and replenishments of the ocean and things that you're told are going away. They're not going away. They're just going to be understood. Who are you? As you listen to this, I know who's here. You're not too smart to look, or you wouldn't have been in a cryon meeting all day. But there are so many on this planet, maybe guided to hear this particular transmission today from the other side of the veil. It says, are you a little too smart to look? Do you see everything that we've talked about today as being so fanciful, not possible? Or will you stop for a minute and say, what if everything I was told is for yesterday? And there are things coming that I don't know about that are going to be amazing and beautiful, and especially the one called peace on earth. That's the potential. I hope I've made it fun for you to hear and profound for you to imagine, because that's the truth of what could happen here. That's enough for now. And so it is.